Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Sober Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, October 9th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm gaining ground myself, feeling better every day, and getting in more trouble than I was last week, so that's a good sign.
Uh-oh, you're always in trouble.
Always, that's true. I'm married, you know.
Yes. Well, you know, I did take a break yesterday. We did a replay of Friday's program. We had an interview with James Corbett, and at the last minute, I decided I needed a break. So, feeling good today, ladies and gentlemen, and I think we're going to see a big turnaround. Things are happening. We're going to hear when we're here to talk about everything today. So, let's first go to the gold and silver markets, and we have gold today struggled, but we're still at $11.90, up $2. Silver's up 3 cents today at $14.48. Platinum was up $6 today at $830, but palladium was down $8 at $1,076. Oh, let's see what the USDX today. It was a little weaker, down 0.07 at 95.68. Crude oil was up 53 cents at 74.82. And the paper markets today, let's see what they're doing there. They've been all over the page today. The bond market was closed yesterday, but the Dow was down 56 points today at 26,429. The NASDAQ was up 2 at 7,738, and the S&P was down 4 at 2,880. Euro was, 115. 10-year yield is holding 3.21%. Let's see. And that fear and greed index, that emotion that's driving the market, is just dropping into fear. So there's a lot of fear out there. I'm not quite sure where it's coming from, because most people out there are still a little giddy about what's going on. You know, they think everything is great, wonderful, and everything. But maybe something behind the scenes, they're beginning to feel that things just don't seem normal anymore. So we'll see how it plays out. I did see a couple of reports today, Butch, and I think the biggest, we often talk about that thing from left field, something that you're not expecting, something that could really turn things around. And there was a report out today by the Financial Times. This one was out by the Telegraph, the business section, and it's about the Bank of England. And they're talking about a problem that Brexit might have with their 41 trillion euro derivatives. So the European Union is using 41 trillion, and that's in euros, of financial contracts as a Brexit bargaining tool, putting the European Union's financial sector at risk and the rest of the world if a deal is not reached on the issue by Christmas. A month and a half away, 2 months away. The Bank of England has warned that in its latest assessment of financial stability in the UK, that the European Union has only made limited progress on the crucial issue of the so-called derivative contracts. And derivatives are a financial instrument used to protect companies against market moves and by hedging their risk, and they're often handled by clearing houses. and the financial middleman bodies who ensure that both sides of the agreement are able to meet their responsibilities. And London acts as a hub for these contracts for many European Union financial institutions. So the UK clearinghouses will have to ask these European members of these contracts to move them elsewhere at least 3 months before Brexit day of March 29th. Now, these members make up 15% of derivatives activity. And, you know, these experts are saying, hey, there's just not sufficient capacity to service them elsewhere. So that's a lot of bucks, ladies and gentlemen.
It really is. So what do you think will happen there?
So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see how this is, you know, but they're using this as a bargaining chip tool for Brexit. And we'll have to see what the European Commission does. And while the UK government has moved to get legislation ready just to ensure a temporary permissions regime is in place to allow these companies to work with the European Union firms and banks, Brussels has so far refused to make the same move. So, you know, maybe they're pushing things to the wire, maybe they want something, and at the end they're going to get it, and then they'll come up with a resolution. But again, this could be something, and so I think this is something to keep an eye on, and I think this is something that could really have major impacts that no one really is anticipating. And so I thought that was kind of interesting and important.
Well, you know, that Brexit is a kind of got a lot of confusion started in the European countries for quite a while now, and apparently still continuing. So what do you see coming out of this in the long run?
You know, I think they'll make deals, and I think, you know, they'll go along. And, you know, I mean, the U.K., never switched to the euro, and I think that's their saving grace. Even though, you know, they both have weaknesses and they manipulate their currencies and so forth. But so I don't know how this will turn out. They could go along. It could affect trade, particularly in a time where there's other trade wars that are happening, particularly with the United States. So everything is so connected. So we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out. But
that's one of the biggest drawbacks about having the whole world connected financially. That when somebody sneezes, we all get a cold.
That's right. But we are. Yep. But we are all connected. And. So that's not going to change because everybody
we need each other now. We do survive. Yeah. Seriously, we do. I don't like that. That ends sovereignty a lot and it makes us all on the same playing field, maybe perhaps. But I don't like that feeling the way you can do about it now.
Yeah. And today there was additional threats coming from the White House from President Donald Trump to impose tariffs on $267 billion worth of additional Chinese imports if China retaliates for the recent levies and other measures that the United States has taken in the countries escalating the trade war. He says Trump, speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, also said China is not ready to reach a deal on trade. He says China wants to make a deal, and I say they're not ready yet. I just say they're not ready yet, and I'm reading this as his quotations. And we've canceled a couple of meetings because I say they're not ready to make a deal. You know. So when asked whether he was ready to levy new taxes in case of retaliation from China, he said, sure, absolutely. He also added that the current U.S. trade imbalance with China means they've already retaliated.
Wow.
So, you know, and the deficit continues to grow, especially with China. And, you know, hey, as long as people are buying the trinkets and want the cheaper products, the deficit's not going anywhere. Continue to grow.
Have you seen an increase in prices or anything because of tariffs so far? I haven't noticed a lot myself. Have you?
I don't think I was reading earlier today that where you're really going to see some of the stores, like your dollar stores, you know, I mean, people just buy things anymore, and I don't think people even paid attention to the prices. If it's something they want, they're going to get it. I don't think people truly price shop as much as they say they do. and you know, maybe your bigger ticket items. But it's going to take a little bit of a while to see things trickle down before prices rise. I think you might see it might be easier for them to lay people off, close divisions, move around. That might have a quicker impact for a company than try to trickle down increases in prices and so forth. And it could be a combination of everything. It depends on the business and what the product is to see how they actually treat these tariffs. I mean, we certainly see the problems with the soybeans.
Well, you know, the company I work for, still work for part-time, came over to West Columbus, Ohio, had to raise some price on their hardware, the nuts and bolts and different things, because the cost of steel went up a little bit. And I wonder if that may have anything to do with that, with the tariffs on that.
I don't know how quick, and it's a great excuse. I see it in the gold and silver business. As soon as, just like in the past month, when the U.S. Mint came out and said, oh, we're not making, you know, we're out of inventory and we have to up our manufacturing of Silver Eagles, all your dealers started increasing the prices. Wholesale prices were the same, but they thought, oh, let's take advantage of this. And they did. Did we? No. We kept the prices away, unless my wholesale prices change, I'm not going to change up my prices just because every other dealer does. It's stupid.
You're honest.
But,
You're honest. That's good quality. Well,
and you know what? My wholesalers are the same because that's what my buyer said to me. He says, oh, they're out there doing it again. They're increasing prices, And he did have to increase his price by 5 cents, and we did ours by 5 cents. But they were out there by 25, 50 cents. That's a lot for Silver Eagle.
It is.
What
is Silver Eagle going for now?
It ranges anywhere from 250 to 285 over spot.
Okay. So Silver Eagles stay pretty constant, don't they, as far as value? Do they not? I mean,
the premiums can jump. I mean, it depends on the demand. I mean, we saw when silver was pushing 50, I mean, Silver Eagles were selling for $6, $7, $8 over spot. We didn't sell them at that price. I recommend something else. Don't spend that premium on Silver Eagles unless that's right. What you really want. Even my buyers, he says, I'm not selling them to my customers. I says, neither am I. Because we know they will adjust. There's other things that you can buy for lower premiums.
And that's emotional buying, which can get you in a lot of trouble.
Eventually gold and silver is going to go higher and, we don't have to worry about it. But, the whole idea is to get as much product as you can for your dollars.
Yep.
So,
it is.
Sometimes it's better to buy a different product to get. So, it changes. It's constantly changing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish up your story.
No, I was just finishing up about the tariffs, and I was going to talk about how mortgage rates have jumped past 5%.
That is a good topic because that's going to affect a lot of things. That's the first time in how long they've been up that high.
Oh, it's been a while. I don't know the exact date.
Been a long time.
It's been a long time. We had a 3.5% in 2016. So it sat just below 4% about a year ago. So it's 10 years.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, but the last time we had a recession.
From the Great Recession,
2008.
Yeah.
2008, yes.
Yeah, 2008, 2009, yep. Yeah. So so we'll have to see what that's going to happen to these markets. People are gonna have to buy less of a house because they won't be able to afford the mortgage payments. People are used to cheap credit, cheap money. So if these rates keep rising, so we'll have to ask to see what you think if the Fed is going to raise rates in December. I mean, 5% can still be historically inexpensive, but I think the challenges facing the housing market today and the consumer out there is different too. I don't think the consumer is the same as they were the last time it was 5, 6, 7, 8%. They're already.
I know from experience and talking with people that And I don't know, I assume, everything I'm hearing in the news that the jobless rate is low since 1960s and all this on and on. But I'm telling you, in our area, I'm not saying people are hurting necessarily, but they're having a harder time just buying necessities. I'm not talking about buying a house now. I'm talking about paying food and paying power bill. And they're having a hard time making that because their dollar just is not going as far. It's impossible. And there's, I'm seeing this happen, especially, I hate to say this, to older people. Their funds are getting tighter all the time. I see this, but I still keep hearing the news how everything is wonderful. Maybe certain classes are ability, but the retired people are having a little harder time than they did a few years ago.
Well, you know these rates, and I did see that these are the highest level in 7 years. But, I mean, this is coming at a time right when the economy is supposedly getting stronger. People are, you know, spending more and so forth. So the timing of it is not very good. But I also believe that with the, you know, again, you know, it's not much different than when Reagan was in office and he did his big tax cuts. They worked well for a year and a half, and then we went into a recession, and he walked away out of D.C. with 123% increase in the debt. And I think we're going to see exactly the same thing, and it'll probably be higher than 123%. So I don't see it any different, and I think using the tax cuts at the time that it was, it boosted the economy, but there's no more boost. You know, there's no more gas. There's no more fuel. And the only thing that the government or the Fed can do is lower rates, and that's the Fed, and we're you know, so are we going to have a rate increase in January and in December? I don't think so, but we'll see.
Well, they're printing more money every day, Melody, covering a lot of different things. They're printing, which means it's worth less and less.
That's true.
So all they're doing is adding to the bubble. It may ease things for a little while, but goodness gracious, sooner or later, somebody's got to pay that debt or blow it up, one or the other. There's no choice in this. That's all there's to it.
It's going to be both. They're going to default on the debt, and then the people will have to pay and pick up the crumbs, and they'll lose 50, 60, 70%. Yep, Ron Paul came out confirming, hey, this bubble's just getting bigger and bigger. And he says the stock market's going to go 50% or more. And everybody forgets that the Nikkei, that stock market was 40,000 at one point in time. It's still in the low 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's... you know, to say that things always rebound is not necessarily accurate. So, but I thought those were some pretty interesting
stories. They are. And I got a question to ask you too. I guess you probably heard this, that the new majority House leader Kevin McCarthy is going to introduce a bill this week that will fully fund the wall on the southern border. You have any comments on that? That's been bandied around for a while. Of course, it's right in time for midterm elections, which could be interesting. But he's wanting to introduce a bill this week to fully fund the border. Do you think it's going to be a big sway in the elections?
Absolutely. And, you know, Mitch McConnell came out and said if Trump signed the budget deal, then they would issue something after that to get the wall funded. It's not any different. Deals are made, and it's the same old stuff that goes on in D.C. So, but we'll have to see if it all gets passed and everything.
It is interesting.
It is.
Break time already.
It is break time, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, just a few short messages, and thank you for listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio, Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. We were busy talking through the break, and so we missed coming back, yes. And
we
visit our website, ladies and gentlemen, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you can listen to these programs. They're archived daily and long-term. So just go there, click on, and you can listen live. Also, just click on the bar, and it is aired live at 4 o'clock Eastern time. So with that, I have one more thing that I think is kind of interesting. China, you know, we talked about the tariffs, and we talked about how Trump is not ready to – he doesn't think that China is ready for, you know, a trade deal. Well, today, China has choked back on imports of liquefied petroleum gas from the United States, the LPG. And China is turning to the Middle East for extra supplies. China bought nearly 3.6 million tons of U.S. LPG in 2017. And, of course, that was helped make the United States the country's second largest supplier of the fuel used in petrochemicals, as well as cooking, transport, and heating. But the U.S. imports have come off dramatically over the course of 2018 before completely stalling out in late August, when China imposed an additional 25% tariff on over 300 U.S. goods, and that also included the LPG. And IHS Market estimates the U.S. imports fell to barely 1 million tons during the first 8 months, down from about 2.1 million tons for the same period. So,
wow.
It is.
That is a chunk. So I wonder what that will work out to for the country.
I don't know. China, they stopped the U.S. LPG cargoes as they are now too expensive. Let's see what else this article has to say. The United States last year accounted for about 20% of China's total LPG imports. And it was running about $1 billion a month. That's a lot of bucks.
Wow. That is a lot of bucks. It is. And different topic, maybe along the same line as finances, Pakistan is asking the IMF for $12 billion to bail them out. Now, I wonder when the country is going to learn that when the IMF gets involved, you just get further in debt. I mean, I guess they're desperate. They have no choice. But when the IMF gets involved, you're just hawking your country, are you not?
I believe so, but...
Well, $12 billion, I mean, so is Pakistan going to be another Venezuela, or perhaps in the future? Who knows? And now they're saying Venezuela may have a 10% increase over the year, not 1 million, inflation rate. That's so far above my mind to comprehend. I don't know how anyone or any nation can function for one day with that type of inflation rate. Maybe you can figure it out.
No, you go hungry.
Well, you certainly
I do. Know that. You go hungry. And but you know,
I just don't know how people. I mean, I can't fathom that. We know we have what probably 10% a year inflation rate on average, and that does put a hurt on everybody. But a million, 10 million. What good is the paper money do? When you can't carry enough to buy anything.
True. You know, just going back to Pakistan, I believe, I don't know if they reversed this or not. I know in August sometime, you know, things happen very quickly and change. But Pakistan, the Pentagon was going to delay payments to Pakistan. You mentioned that they're going to the IMF.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the U.S., the Pentagon could delay payment of $300 million to Pakistan as the U.S. Congress made part of this year's $1.1 billion payment contingent on the Pakistan's willingness to crack down on Haqqani network, terrorist mm-hmm. network. So yeah. Maybe that's why they went to the IMF.
I don't know, but you know, it's talking about Venezuela.
But we control the IMF, so... Do we not?
This is way above my pay grade, Melody. That's why I talk to you about these things. You've been this a lot longer than I have.
Yeah. So
and, you know, Home Depot founder slams socialist millennials. He said, "I'll put you on my plane and fly you to Venezuela." I like that. I like his attitude. I guess you saw the article. But for some reason, many millennials and even some older adults like the actor Jim Carrey, I can't stand that dude, and politician Bernie Sanders believe that capitalism is the cause of all America's woes and socialism is the social solution. And it has here a picture of Cortez saying what America wants is socialism. That has a picture of the president of Venezuela saying what Venezuela wants is water and toilet paper. And that's true. But he said, you know, if these millennials want all this socialism, said, I'll just fly them down and show them what's like to live in Venezuela. That has been a socialist nation, and it's collapsed. And I guess that's the only way it's going to wake people up if they could actually see the results of socialism, Melody. Venezuela had everything. They had the highest standard of living in South America. And boom, it was gone. I mean... So maybe an idea to send him down there, let him look at it. Maybe send Bernie Sanders down, tell him to go down there, live in Venezuela for a year, and come back and tell us what he thinks about socialism down there. So you know,
they would just say it was Maduro.
Well, no, probably
it's all his fault. It was all his fault. People don't understand it until it actually happens to them. So who are they going to believe, Bernie Sanders or Maduro? They'd believe Bernie Sanders. So.
Bernie Sanders campaign already, you know that for 2020, you know that already.
I saw that. Isn't he too old?
Well, you would think, but he's still out there moving around. You know, and then about it. And do you remember how many years have we talked about illegals voting in this country?
I can't even count the years. A lot of years.
And even Trump said that and got in trouble with that, you know that, back before the election. Well, they finally, California admitted, they actually, the California DMV admits that they had given, accidentally enlisted non-citizens to the voter rolls. Hundreds of them. I don't know how that would work. I'm not in the DMV. But if they put them in the voter rolls and they just found the hundreds of them out of millions that they registered, you think there could be more than hundreds of them enrolled to vote?
Well, you would think so.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just curious, but California admitted, hey, the DMV screwed up. We got voters who are not citizens voting. And that, to me, is almost like here in West Virginia for years, that we, as a big joke, that down in the southern part of the state especially, a lot of dead people voted. And they did. A lot of dead people counted the vote. And they finally caught on that, I believe, after a while. But, you know, it was common knowledge before anybody would even admit it was going on. So, now maybe the DMV in California might break loose and say something, but Assemblyman Jim Patterson or Fresno is furious about the idea that the DMV actually let over 1,500 customers improperly register to vote. Now, that's something to think about. If it's that easy, Well, there you go.
It's pretty easy. I mean, if it's just, you know, something.
Well, and how do non-citizens get a driver's license when people that are citizens can't even know how to get a driver's license with proving who they are?
I mean, there's certain states that allow that. California is one. I think some of those western states will allow illegals to go in there and get a permit to drive. So once you have that, you can pretty much do anything. I don't know what exactly what the program is called, but they've been doing it for years.
Well, I just know that in our state, at least, getting driver's license is almost like trying to break into Fort Knox. I mean, it's just so much information. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's because you have ID.
No, well, I
didn't
guess.
Say ID.
I mean, people that were born in a different state, different city even, have to have proof where they were born. If they were married and divorced, they have to have the proof that they divorced and remarried. And it goes on and on. I saw a state trooper. This would be in 9-10 years ago in the DMV in an old town we call Flatwoods, West Virginia. Went in full uniform. I mean, he was totally garbed out. They wouldn't give him a driver's license because they couldn't prove who he was. True story.
Yeah. There were, I think the states that allow illegal immigrants to drive is Hawaii, Maine, New Mexico, Utah, Washington. I can't believe, I'm sure California is probably one now. I think there's, I don't know what the number is completely. I'm sure so there's quite a few states.
But you know, the driver's license opens up.
Maryland
a lot.
Is Maryland one? Maryland's one.
Really? Well, the driver's license open up to a lot of ways for people to commit fraud, because driver's license is almost like breathing day. If you don't have it, you can't do much of anything.
Yeah, the key is the Social Security number. If you don't have a Social Security number, they'll use tax identification numbers, a birth certificate or something like that. Just some just has to show an ID. It could be any type of an ID. Maybe a bill to, you know, if you're paying electric or something like that.
Well, can you imagine back long before you ever thought of back in the 1800s, people being asked for ID to do anything, what they would have said?
Yeah.
Can you imagine crossing the country in a wagon? Do you have a permit to cross state here? Do you have a permit for that gun going across this? Can you imagine what people would have thought and did? But that's a different mindset, Melody. We've lost our independence. We've lost our desire to be independent. So we follow orders. It's much easier that way. Mm-hmm. You don't lose your stuff. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, well, we'd like to think about it or not. It doesn't change the fact. It's true. And now we're watching the midterm election. You know, you've already heard, I'm sure, the Democrats, if they're elected, they're going to impeach Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is going to be a dogged man probably the rest of his life. And we said if the Democrats take charge, they're going to try to impeach him. But that could, and I'm also hearing that it could backfire, that because Democrats pulled such a shoddy cover up here, it's probably going to blast them right out of the election altogether. It's going to be interesting. I mean, we're less than a month away. We'll know soon. Interesting.
You know, they're not going to impeach him because there's going to be so much going on. They're going to forget all about him. You know, he was just a distraction and you know, an election year debacle, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, I think it backfired on him. And I'll tell you what, when you listen to those people when they were swearing them in, and I saw the second swearing in, you know what, it was used on both sides. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, it was used on both sides.
Yes it was.
So, you know, they're not going to impeach him. He didn't do anything. They know it. You know, and he comes out and he hires, his legal team is going to be 4 women. You know, I could think of a reason to say, well, maybe he did have an issue. You know, he surrounds himself with women, so maybe he does have a problem. I don't think that's the case, but I mean, you can make a case out of everything nowadays.
Sure, you could.
Good
you
grief.
Know, Chuck Baldwin wrote an article, and it's really good, entitled "The Illusions of Hope." And how many years, and I say this last night on the program, I'll get more into it probably Thursday night when by myself, though we as a people have delved in the illusions of hope. As Patrick Henry said, people, you know, have the illusions of hope. They hope for the worst. I mean, hope for the best, and they put trust in that. And he said, I'd rather know the truth and prepare for it. I'm talking about me personally, in the past, had to get Republicans in back in the 90s. We're going to change this country. We're going to clean house. And what was the head of the Republican Party back then? Mine's going blank in the 90s. Congressman. He was a real conservative. But anyway, mine's going blank. I can see him, but I can't think of his name. But we all thought we just changed parties. Well, I've been through several changes between since the 90s and a long time before that. And I've seen nothing improve. And not one administration improved enough they can tell by the time they leave office. And you know that's true. Even Reagan, who's been a savior of the country, did nothing permanently at all to change anything. And, so Republicans and Democrats are both Republicans and Democrats back NAFTA. They're back the new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico. They're both selling us out. They back temporary visas for workers. Both parties. Because they were paid well to do so, Billy. So the article entitled Illusions of Hope is a very good article. You should read it by Chuck Baldwin.
Okay, I will. You'll have to let me. Well, I mean, and we just overlook everything. I mean, look what they did to Newt Gingrich.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm trying to think about Newt Gingrich. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. Thank you.
Look at Newt Gingrich and his history in the 90s. I mean, to think that he's paraded now as some sort of good Republican or good conservative. Forget about all his ill will and ill doings in the 90s. Forget all. Oh, he's changed now. What, just because he supports Trump? Is that we've come to accept people's bad behavior and things that they've done in the past only because now they seem to be on our side?
Well,
just because they say these things we want to hear? Isn't that
that's it. It's called the siren song. We want to hear these things. We want to hear them we're finally going to get a reprieve here.
And it was no different. Yep, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, you're right. There's no difference. And at the end of the Trump's term, whether it's 2020 or 2024, whatever it is, people are going to find out that not a whole lot's changed for the better. Sorry about that, folks. Just the way it is. Be further in debt.
Yeah, because we can't get better with that debt. And look at Obama. It was the same thing. They used hope. And every politician for the last how many decades used hope and change.
Yep.
And why do we, the people, need to have politicians promise us hope and change? I don't want promises from politicians. You know?
But see, you're different than most people, Melody. We are. You and I are both different than most people. Most people hang on every word they say, hoping that they'll mean what they say for change.
You know, the best thing that we should hope as citizens for this country is that our country is protected, you know, that they follow there's so much corruption, and once they took us off the gold and silver, the doors were wide open for corruption.
Yep.
There's no way you can clean out that corruption. You can't clean out unless you got to clean the whole barn. You just can't eliminate the horses. You got to clean up everything. And so the whole picture has to be cleaned. And so anyway, I hear a break coming on. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold. gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
To Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Pastor Butch just talks to me too much during these breaks. We're coming back late. It's all your fault, Butch.
I know it. I can't help it. I enjoy y'all's company.
And 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. Prices are low. Great deals out there. And whether you're adding to your portfolio or you're new to gold and silver, give us a call and we'll help you out. And you wanted to talk about some important things today.
I do, because this is getting serious. And this first article will not say so serious, but it just shows how low news broadcasters will go to try to find news. CNN's host, Don Lemon, hosted the prostitute, the whore, Stormy Daniels, on Monday to talk about her book. Now, folks, let that sink in. We have a paid prostitute as a heroine writing a book about Trump. He's in the chapters. This makes you mad, I'm sorry. But she described Trump's penis in her book. This is so low, CNN has to stoop to these levels to find news. Now, they'll bring on a prostitute to discuss the president's private parts. Melanie, that's disgusting beyond words.
It is disgusting, and I don't even read those articles, so I don't know why.
Oh, it makes me angry. I mean, but this is going to CNN.
I don't pay any attention to them.
CNN. We know we got to expose this evil. This is really for real. That any news broadcast, but CNN was once, would say, one of the leading broadcasters of news outlets, and they're stooping down to this lower grade of people to discuss the president's private parts. My God in heaven, we are a mess. Anyway.
And well, they say sex sells, so.
Yeah, I guess it does. And a Rosemont educator on leave after tweeting kill Kavanaugh. Now, you may have saw this also. A Rosemont special education teacher has been placed on paid administrative leave after posting a tweet Saturday that appeared to call for the killing of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The teacher, listed as an instructor at the Intermediate School District 917's Alliance Education Center, has since deleted her Twitter account, but her tweet was captured and shared by scores of users who said they reported to the FBI and U.S. Secret Service. A spokesman for the FBI in Minneapolis said Monday that the Bureau was aware of the tweet, which read, So who's going to take one for the team and kill Kavanaugh? Melanie. Unbelievable. Is it not?
Yes, it is.
And a man in Vancouver, Washington, just north of Portland, returned to the bar he left his truck at the night before to find charred remains of what used to be a Nissan Titan. On the previous night, John McKay opted to take an Uber home rather than take the roads under the influence. He left his truck in a parking lot, expecting to drive it back the next day. Except some anti-Trump terrorist got to it first, setting it on fire. A woman who lives across the street captured video of the truck ablaze at some point during the night. A self-proclaimed supporter of Donald Trump says his pickup was vandalized and set ablaze because of two bumper stickers that endorsed the president. McKay says he has been at the bar drinking the night before and decided to take an Uber home, leaving the truck overnight. So this is actually heating up, and we're not even anywhere near done yet. But this is heating up to violence. I don't care if you support Trump or not. I mean, do you set somebody's car on fire because you disagree with them? Are we that far gone as a society, Melody, that it's not even safe to park your car and leave it so overnight because you may support somebody that other people don't like? Obviously so. It's happening. Hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is.
And Antifa thugs block roads, direct traffic, threaten people who don't obey. Now, this is in Portland. Stunning video out of Portland shows leftist Antifa thugs trying to block and direct traffic while threatening anyone who doesn't obey with violence and calling them white supremacists. Several members of the group attempt to direct traffic, blocking cars turning left or right, from turning left for no apparent reason while hurling obscenities at drivers. "Just go that way," one obese woman tells the driver. When he asks why, she snaps back, "Because I told you to." "Yeah, you little white..." I'm getting the other word. Shuts another man wearing a black hoodie despite being white himself. The leftists then accuse the driver of blocking traffic despite the fact that it is they who are blocking traffic. The group then accuses the driver of being white supremacist because he's from North Carolina. "Back to North Carolina, where you come from. We don't need your KKK in Portland, Oregon," shouts a man in the hoodie. Another black man is also being repeatedly threatening physical violence, shouting, "You're lucky you don't hit me. I'd have to beat your blank at one pickup driver. A female driver then confronts leftists, telling him, "I pay my bills. Shut, get out of the way." At the end of the clip, one of the thugs strikes the back of the car after it beeps at him. And an officer down the street watching it did nothing but watch it. Melly, this is getting serious. It truly is. It's hitting the west now, and it looks like the northwest pretty heavily. But it's going to come our direction too, you know that.
Well, it is. It truly is. And, of course, the more they... showcase it on these news programs. I mean, but, people aren't held accountable anymore for the behaviors. And I'm not even sure they're leftists or they're what. They're just violent people, period. They don't have the brains in order to believe anything from the left or conservative. They're just violent, evil people. They don't have views and thoughts. They have no critical thinking. But the left is who is truly fanning the flames for these people.
Yes.
And that's what's dangerous. I mean, just listening to these people when they were swearing in Kavanaugh on Saturday.
And they're getting paid for it, Bobby. Some of the people are getting paid for it. They're getting paid for it. But go ahead.
But the banging and the screaming and the... It's like, for what? It's like... And they allow it. Where are the D.C. police to escort these people out of these buildings? So it's all done for design. They want people to hear this stuff. They want people to react to this stuff. Because why wouldn't they escort them out?
Well, I don't know what the goal was behind this. But eventually, somebody that was, say, one of these roadblocks is going to snap. They're going to have a gun. Can you imagine what happened if somebody starts shooting at one of these things?
I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of all different types of things going on that we can't even, imagine in these little places.
Well,
I'll tell you what. I watched a 48. I think it was a 48 hours. It was two parts. I didn't finish it, but it talks about the dark web. And their storyline was, you know, how you can hire. I don't even want to talk about it on the radio because I certainly don't want to give anybody any ideas. But I mean, and that's why I said if I was some of this stuff online, it's just particularly the dark web, people shouldn't have access to. I'm sorry.
No problem with that. But Rand Paul, of course, is a senator from Kentucky, and I spoke to him before he was elected the first time, several times on the broadcast. And his wife, Kelly Paul, said she sleeps with a gun now. And this is what she said. Kelly Paul, the wife of Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, described her increasing concerns for the safety of herself and her family amidst increasing calls from Democrats and the broader left to amplify politically motivated hostility towards Republicans. She offered her remarks in a Friday interview with Breitbart News Deputy Political Director Amanda House. "We've updated all of our security systems at home. I sleep with a loaded gun by my bed. I'm home alone a lot, obviously when Rand is in Washington, D.C., and so I've got deadbolts all around my house so that if someone's in my house when I go to bed, I'm deadbolted in three different levels," Paul told House. "It's bizarre. I've never been like this in my whole life. We used to never lock our doors, and now that has all changed. Even going to dinner in D.C. last night, you worry. You hope that people won't start coming up to you and just start screaming at you." That is not the America I grew up in. That's not the society I grew up in. We never locked doors when I was growing up. Did you, Melody?
No, we did not.
You know, and now even today where I live, and I live in the middle of the country, I don't go back there without a door lock. Matter of fact, I got a load of guns all through the house. I'm not afraid to say it. I do. I don't think I ever have to use them. I pray I never have to use them. But I don't know that anymore. With druggies and all manner of stuff going on all around all the country, not just in D.C., but all of this country, you never know what's going to happen. And I haven't had a death threat because of what I preached for a while, but you get death threats all the time because of preaching its homosexuality and exposing the evils of the Catholic Church, what's going on there. So, but I haven't got any of those death threats for a while. But that doesn't mean that I still don't think about it, because I've had both tie rods come off the front end of my car at one time after doing a radio show in the radio station. I've had tires fall off my cars. A lot of things happen that were not accidents. So I take it seriously enough to at least know I protect myself and my family the best I can. Now, and it's really a shame that we live in a society like that where you can't even drive down the street, perhaps, without being harassed by somebody because of where you're from or what you say you believe. Melody, that's not the America I knew. And I see America deteriorating. And as long as we keep playing with morals and destroying the moral fiber of our children, there's no hope for this country. No matter who's elected, there's no hope, is there?
Well, there's always hope. You know, but you have to look up for that.
Well, the hope would be repentance. But the people don't know how to repent.
You know, well, nobody believes they've done anything wrong, and that comes from...
That's the whole point. That's why there's no hope, because they can't understand what we've done. Repentance is a key to everything, including salvation for a nation. Because the Bible tells us that Christ created all things, by him all things exist, and through him all things consist. When Christ is out of society, society falls apart. Well, here we are. Proof is in the pudding. You and I grew up, there was still some morals left, still some belief in God, and evil was still laughed at. I remember back in the 60s when the Beatles said they were more popular than Christ, and they took off every station in the country. You remember that?
Temporarily.
Yeah. Well, but now what did they say about Christ? What did they do in public? Come on, that's how much we changed in 50 years. And 50 years, Melody, is not forever.
It's not a very long time at all.
It isn't. So that's where we are in America today. And that's why I'm so concerned. You and I, we're old enough, we know better. But my grandchildren are growing up in a country where there's so much confusion and hatred. It just breaks my heart. And no one wants to hear the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's it, period. That's all. There's nothing else to it. Unless you want to office, unless repentance and Christ is part of it, it will not work. It won't work. It hasn't in my lifetime anyway. Now I'll shut up and let you talk a little while. Seems that's your program.
Well, we wanted to talk about Nikki Haley before we go off the
air.
Yes,
go. Please do, yes.
And,
yes.
Well, I thought you had the information.
I do, but I'll
say there were a couple of comments as far as who was going to replace her. And it's interesting that it's only been, 6 months Maybe it's been almost a year. Remember when Nikki Haley was accused of being confused by the White House by Larry Kudlow? She says, "No, I'm not. I don't get confused." There was comments at the last UN conference that she was actually upstaging President Trump when he was there. And so it's interesting to see, I don't know the real reasons, but it's interesting to see those reports. And now that she's leaving, and I don't know if I have, there was even talks of perhaps Ivanka would be replacing her. And we all know Ivanka has shut down. Maybe it's even Kushner because Nikki Haley has praised Kushner, saying that he was, you know, brilliant. So don't know. It could be a lot of people, but there's also a Goldman Sachs executive that possibly replacing Nikki Haley. So I don't know. Trump is always surprising, and we never really know who or what until it actually happens. I think it was Dina Powell. They have talked to her. She's a Goldman Sachs. And so it's Dina Powell says she's happy at the investment bank and has yet to make a decision. But I guess there's all kinds of possibilities, and I just hope it's none of the three that I just mentioned.
Well, that certainly didn't clean the swamp very much, that's for sure.
So, you know, there's no, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said there's no announcements at this time. And so we'll have to wait.
Do you have a clue as to why she resigned? Does she have higher expectations coming up? Does she shoot for something higher?
No, she just wants to take some time off. She says she has no intentions of running because everybody thought that maybe she'll be running for the presidency in 2020. But she said she came out and said she has no intentions of running for public office in 2020.
Yes, yes.
But most people believe that, you know, she's not going to stay out of the public. You know, she won't stay out of politics, that she'll go back in. Interesting, yeah. I thought she did a great job. She's really on the ball. But we need to be on the ball because we're out of time. And 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver. I will talk to you on Thursday.
Yes, you will. You have a wonderful couple of days.
You too. We'll talk soon. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.